Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Today on Edgewise, our guest is Christine Eberle, Executive Director in the Accenture Talent and Organization Performance Practice. She's a contributor to a new book, The Social Media Management Handbook. Christine wrote about the use of social media and how to maximize it when dealing with people. Christine, welcome to Edgewise.
Thank you.
Well, let's go right to the heart of the matter. Can you talk to us a little bit about why culture is so critical to social media success?
Culture is a very important part of any type of transformation program for an organization. And it's one that sometimes gets overlooked. Companies will invest millions or even hundreds of millions of dollars in programs and wonder why they're not successful. And sometimes that can be traced back to a lack of attention to the unique cultural considerations that an organization has. Social media in particular brings with it a whole host of cultural considerations on top of what you might see with a regular transformation program.
Why is that?
Culture for social media typically means that you have to think about multiple generations working simultaneously together effectively in a workforce. And the millennial generation, people born between 1977 and 1995, accounting for 40% of the overall workforce worldwide, roughly 80 million people, typically have been immersed in technology throughout their lives. It's totally a part of the way they think. In fact, there's some scientific research to show that the ways that their brains work has evolved over time. There's a difference that you can see on a functional MRI scan when you ask a millennial to go about doing a task or a problem-solving activity versus somebody in one of the older generations. They almost don't see technology in the sense that it's a way that they communicate naturally, and it's a mindset where they feel more collaborative and they understand how to leverage social networks in the workplace. Yet we still have the need to make sure that we're taking what these millennials excel at and integrating it into an existing workplace environment where people who are in some of the older generations may have more of the content expertise, familiarity with the industry, or familiarity just with the company's culture.
Right. So why is it important?
Culture is critical because the magic is in getting all of these different generations to work together seamlessly. And in fact, when you see companies where social media initiatives have not worked out effectively, one of the bigger reasons tends to be great utilization rates from the millennial generation, but you won't see folks who have all the content expertise or the industry familiarity utilizing some of the newer social media tools. So there's a big gap in terms of knowledge and in terms of just creating silos within the organization.
Right. Now, let's take a look at another factor that can also make social media a difficult thing to fully utilize.
There's a couple things that come to mind. One is executive resistance. So at the very top, you've got executives wondering, why is this investment so important? It's not an insignificant investment to overhaul some of your internal capabilities to move beyond just email and phone connectivity to something that's a lot more interactive, expert-based, organic. We've done a couple of surveys. A lot of times executives will believe that if they enable social media technologies, that this is a risk for the company, that there might be reductions in productivity because people might spend too much of their time chatting with their friends and not enough of their time focusing on their jobs. Or if you have a specific spot internally, like a message board where people can post questions and answers and their opinions, the fear is that this could even present legal challenges, that people might complain or they might share things that are inappropriate. But in reality, those fears are largely unfounded. In fact, we've seen enhancements in productivity when you use social media to support the ways in which people are most naturally inclined to communicate with one another anyways. It can help connect people that are in different geographies. There's the ability to enable folks that are much more senior in the organization to have more candid discussions with less senior people, so you're connecting the generations a little bit more seamlessly. And in terms of legal issues or information that shouldn't be public or posted on an internal social media site, what we found is that if a company doesn't create this capability from within, their employees tend to use social media anyways, but they may be then posting content on a server or a platform that's external to the company. That's even more of a risk. So you can't stop it. If a company can support social media, usually that helps protect against some of those things that the executive leadership team might fear.
Mm-hmm. Are there corporate rules about the employee's use of social media that can protect the company?
Certainly, having a policy about social media is not a bad thing, although one of the values of this millennial generation is openness and freedom to say whatever's on your mind, and the fundamental belief that if you're open and honest about what is really going on, that can only bring good things to the company. And to some extent, those things may be even more strongly valued than salary or other components of a typical employee value proposition. There's a lot of debates about this. And if you look at what's happened with WikiLeaks, things can happen that are highly sensitive and potentially problematic when all information becomes unclassified and shared, even though that's not a corporate example. You can quickly imagine scenarios where company secrets are leaked or opinions about the company become publicized that don't necessarily serve anybody's best interests. Certainly, policies can help draw a circle around how social media should be used and how it should not be used. The policies that are the most helpful are the ones that help encourage everybody to utilize the social media capabilities. So you might have a scenario where the millennial generation in the workforce is extremely comfortable using social media, but the senior leadership, on the other hand, is still more comfortable sending out paper-based or email-based memorandums, very carefully controlled flows of information. So when you think about somebody's career objectives and what's going to drive their success within a company and their salary and their benefits, is to make it part of their job to participate in social media activities.
And how do you do that?
For example, if you're a very senior leader blogging once a week, our lead at Accenture, Walt Schill, sends out a blog excerpt every Friday called Friday Thoughts. And it tends to be less about the company and more about what's going on in his head. And it makes him seem like a real person. So if there are really any policies that can move the needle, they should be more about helping some of the more senior folks in the workplace adopt social media capabilities.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Do you have any thoughts on social media furthering enterprise goals?
At the enterprise level, especially coming out of this most recent recession, typically companies that have survived the recession have already done a lot of work downsizing or streamlining their capabilities, whether that's through shared services or real estate consolidation or new technologies, new finance systems that help them get a little bit more competitive in terms of their costs. But more so than that, the differentiator in today's world tends to be growth and creativity. And some of these growth goals can be best supported when you've got a very collaborative social media environment in place. So you're trading ideas, building upon somebody else's work in a different geography. You're more aware of what's going on, and it probably triggers ideas in your own brain about things that could be helpful to move the company forward with respect to its growth agenda. Also, you can't understate the value of tapping into the new ways of thinking and the creative leaps that this millennial generation may be able to make. There's no better way of getting those voices heard than through social media. Getting the voices of folks who may have a completely different perspective and a different version of what would success look like compared to some of the senior leadership, getting those folks to have a say in the future of the company is really important. And then enterprise policies that connect the two generations can help promote diversity as well. A lot of times companies are struggling to figure out a way to retain and promote minority groups. A lot of times you'll see fairly decent numbers with entry-level hires in terms of balance and making sure you've got a representative workforce. But as time progresses and as people get more and more senior, there's less and less diversity. Let's just take women in the workforce as an example. If you've got a few high-performing, dynamic senior executives in your company who are working women with children, reaching out to folks that have just started their career and sharing real examples about how they've been able to manage work-life balance, managing and balancing, having a family, and being an executive or an active employee, what it is that they're focusing on, it can really help improve people's commitment to stay with the company for the long haul.
Absolutely. Now, I have a question for you. How does a company use social media to bring in employees?
There's obvious answers to that question. For example, using Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter to get in touch with people that might not have proactively applied to your company through typical job boards, whether that's like a monster.com or a company's job board. But it's important that you don't just use recruiting as a way to fill immediate short-term goals, skill gaps, for example. It's a longer-term proposition where if a company has an overall human capital or talent strategy, you are staying in touch with the top talent in the field, people that may or may not even be looking for jobs at the moment, and developing those relationships so that when the time is right, you can bring the absolutely most high-performing resources into your company. Whether that's sending a note via Twitter saying, here's a recent article that I want you to read, or sending text messages over a smartphone to somebody just to let them know that you're thinking about them. These types of activities are critical to developing a very high-performing workforce with the focus on not just the near-term, but the long-term 3 to 5 year view.
Right. Now, can you really identify potential employees and keep them on record so you can go back when there is a need?
That's absolutely right. And it's also about the frequency with which you stay in touch with them. It's building relationships. Just phone calls or emails typically isn't enough. It's the real-time, interactive, connected approach. Also sharing other media that may be available over the internet, whether it's a YouTube excerpt or things like sending a note saying, one of our leaders was speaking at a recent industry conference. I wanted you to have a link to the recording. Things like that will help you differentiate in terms of attracting the best talent.
So you're bringing in people who are very much interested in social media, but in the organization, you may have resistors. How do you close that gap?
You start out with defining roles and competencies that you're looking for within an organization and telling those to the value that you're hoping to get out of bringing in a specific workforce or specific individuals. And then there's recruitment, and then there's onboarding, and then there's making sure that you've identified the aspects of the employee value proposition or employee satisfaction that are critical to retaining your top employees. And then there's also this aspect of rewards and incentives. It's more than just salary. And for millennials especially, it's more than salary. They're much more interested in having an open and collaborative work environment and feeling they believe in the work that they're doing and that the culture of the company is a good fit. all of these things are just good practices no matter what type of initiative you're talking about. But with respect to social media in particular, the best practices in talent management are so critical and become even more important if you're trying to have a successful social media strategy.
All right, and the way to close the gap is to communicate why it's so important for those who have yet to engage in social media to take it on, certainly if they're looking for a more successful career.
Absolutely, and there are a number of good knowledge management software solutions and learning 2.0 capabilities where it becomes part of the fabric of somebody's job. So instead of having an instructor-led course or having a computer-based training module that somebody takes and it's not very interactive or dynamic, you have something whereby learning participants are encouraged to meet virtually and interact at every step of the way. There's a dynamic, living, organic knowledge base behind the learning content to keep it fresh. And there's a front-end interface that enables messages or communications to be shared more broadly with the group. All of those things are ways that you can help operationalize some of these social media aspects and help share information across the generations by building it into the technologies and the learning and knowledge management tools that you're using as an organization.
In the book, you wrote how rewards and incentives can be set up around social media success metrics.
Yes. In fact, this is a very interesting topic, especially for organizations that have a big customer-facing workforce. It's true across the board for all types of employees, but let's just take, for example, an organization that has a call center or a group of folks who answer customer billing inquiries, technical support questions, sales inquiries. In today's world, most companies will measure success for those people by focusing on productivity, how many calls are you able to handle in a particular period of time, resolution rates, what is your first contact resolution rate, how many times did somebody have to call back or send another email after they spoke with you initially, and customer satisfaction after talking to you, how did the customer rate the experience? Those things, I think, are still going to be important. But when you start adding the social media dynamic to the mix, it changes the whole rewards and incentives picture.
Exactly. Could you expand on that a little bit?
Absolutely. For example, let's say you recently stayed at a hotel and you had a horrible experience. You can go on 5 or 6 different major websites, rate your experience on a scale of 1 to 5, and describe in detail what happened, down to the level of people's names. Sally at the front desk was not necessarily as helpful as she could have been. So companies are attempting to be more proactive in their customer satisfaction strategy. And the workforce that we need to be able to address that type of scenario is one that is able to go out and proactively mine for these feedbacks on the internet and understand which sites people are going to, reaching out to customers, saying, hey, I heard you had a bad experience, let me make it up to you. So as you can imagine, the mix of customer contacts somebody in that role gets is very different than what the typical, let's say, call center agent might get. So a call center agent may get a mix of customers who are, on average, generally happy. They may not be ecstatic. They may not be totally dissatisfied, but they're somewhere in the middle. But customers that are actually willing to take extra time out of their day to post something to a website and complain, those are your hardest customers. And not only are they your hardest customers, they're the ones that have the potential to have the most negative impact on the reputation of your company through word of mouth.
So what should organizations do?
The types of incentives that you would need to motivate and reward those types of customer-facing employees are very different, and it might have more to do with how many of these were you able to proactively find. And you could do even a risk aversion metric. To what extent were you able to prevent negative word of mouth from impacting our company? It's an uncharted territory right now, but that's how social media changes the rewards and incentive landscape. The only other thing I would add to that is utilization rates. To have some sort of rewards and incentive strategy in place at the highest levels for senior leadership, very visible leaders in the company whose voices need to be heard in order for the next generation to feel comfortable and to understand the values of the organization. So to leverage social media as a channel to achieve their overall goals is becoming more and more important as well.
And it seems it's also very critical to use social media as a platform for training.
That's true, especially if you have a workforce that's geographically dispersed. It's so much better when you have a platform for learning that enables the learners to see and interact with the instructor. Also, some of the dialogue that can occur on a blog or a wiki that goes hand in hand with a training curriculum is typically fascinating, and people coming into a class can go on to a blog or a wiki and see some of the dialogue that's happened between the trainer and the trainee to get a better feel for some of the core issues that have been discussed. So the Learning 2.0 capability as a whole takes advantage of message boards and knowledge management and video conferencing capabilities. All of that's very important. And I would also add smartphones. People on the road or not necessarily right at their desktop can download podcasts that are short in nature and provide deep information about a specific topic that's of absolute relevance to them at the moment. So they don't have to sort through hours and hours of online training or wait until the next training course. And then there's a significant percentage of our workforce globally that's a field force. These are the people climbing telephone poles, going door to door as a sales professional or delivering the mail. And these people require some sort of point of need information or training program. If they've got a smartphone with a very good search capability built into it, that field force employee will be able to use their smartphone to access content really quickly.
Well, Christine, I want to thank you for your insights into all of this. Do you have any concluding thoughts you want to leave our audience with?
The only last thing that I would add is it's a combination of the new and the old and finding the right balance. Some of the principles and best practices and methods that we've known about for years with respect to human capital strategy and talent management programs still hold true. It's just that the application of these may shift in today's environment. And so it opens up exciting new opportunities for companies to be able to communicate and connect with their employees in ways they haven't been able to before, and to develop a corporate culture that is pretty exciting because everybody can be focused and aligned on the same values while at the same time inspiring creativity and hearing all the different voices of people who make up that company.
We've been speaking to Christine Eberle. She's a contributor to a new book, The Social Media Management Handbook. Christine, thanks for being with us on Edgewise today.
Thank you for having me.
Have you attended an AMA webcast? These free one-hour programs deliver practical insight into the latest business issues as well as leadership and management challenges. For a complete schedule of upcoming webcasts, visit the events calendar at amanet.org/events. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.